Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, September 14th. Today, Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung talks about small business hiring practices in the current economy. We'll also revisit the topic of older workers. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Pinnacle Assurance. Pinnacle Assurance provides workers' comp insurance and was named one of the most community-minded companies in Colorado for the third year in a row. Last year, Pinnacle donated $1.5 million in grants, donations, and scholarships to Colorado communities. Learn how Pinnacle puts care to work at pinnacle.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. In the 1960s, the University of Colorado UFO Project dismissed the scientific benefits of research into strange sightings in the sky. Undaunted by this rejection, an alien came to live in the university town of Boulder when Mork and Mindy premiered on ABC on this date in 1978. A spin-off of the Happy Days television show, Mork and Mindy related the zany antics of Mork from Ork, an alien played by the uninhibited Robin Williams. The sitcom centered around Mork's attempts to understand Earthlings, often with bizarre, hilarious results and some Orkan profanity. The opening credits featured scenes around Boulder, including Williams and co-star Pam Dauber flying a kite in front of the Flatirons, strolling down the Pearl Street Mall, standing on the goalposts of Folsom Field, and their house at 1619 Pine Street. In November 1979, Williams dressed as a Denver Broncos cheerleader and danced as Mork before the crowds at Mile High Stadium. As surreal as sitcoms could get, Mork and Mindy reflected Boulder's reputation as a place unlike any other in Colorado, at times described sarcastically as a town surrounded by reality. The show allowed Williams to display his formidable comic talent and launched his career as a major television and film star. After his death in 2014, mourners gathered for an impromptu tribute at the Pine Street House. Then Congressman and Boulder resident Jared Polis showed up dressed as Mork in tribute to the actor. Before we continue, a message from our sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sunup Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you. Today, we are visiting with the Colorado Sun's business reporter and co-founder, Tamara Chung. Hi, Tamara.
Hey, Carol.
I was hoping that we could go over some of the things that you had in Saturday's What's Working newsletter. And I think one of the things that really jumped out at me was that despite some economic pessimism, the Colorado employers are still hiring. You had a great chart in the newsletter related to that. And can you tell us a little bit about the folks you've been talking to and where they fall on pessimism and optimism?
So I heard from Alignable, which is a small business network. And, you know, they sent me their updates, and I'm interested in what they have to say because they always include surveys of Colorado small businesses. So in the latest one, it was about hiring, you know, and as anyone who's been following the economy this year, we've been wondering what's going to happen with this potential recession, or, you know, there's already a labor shortage. So how can these two things exist? And it looks like, you know, in Colorado, even though there is some pessimism about the economy receding a bit, employers are still, you know, they're not completely out of sync with hiring trends and stuff. In fact, you know, more businesses in Colorado plan to keep hiring, or fewer plan to put hiring on hold compared to the U.S. And I think the comparative rate was 63% of small businesses in the U.S. are planning to put hiring on hold, and that's compared to 44% in Colorado.
Yeah, and that's a big swing in that particular number. And I also noted, though, that about a quarter of the respondents to that Alignable survey did say that they would call what we're in now a depression. So did you talk to anybody who had feedback on that?
You know, for this past week's report, I didn't speak to any small business owners specifically about this, but, you know, I've been hearing from small businesses all along. And I mean, even further on in the story, you know, I talked to a business owner who actually had unretired during the pandemic because, you know, she thought she'd be retiring and things just didn't work out the way she had planned because she had a catering business and thought she could just live off some of the proceeds of that. But as everyone knows, in the pandemic, no one was hiring caterers. So the thing is, it's just been up and down depending on the small businesses. So if you are in that situation where your business was disrupted completely by the pandemic and you're in recovery and you're still not quite there, you probably do think it's a recession or a depression. Whereas people who are hiring like crazy and have money to spend, they probably feel the opposite. So that's why you've got these different numbers all over the place.
Right. And, you know, speaking of the caterer, I think another segment that you had in the What's Working newsletter is a topic that you and I have visited previously about older workers in Colorado. So you did your own Labor Day survey in the What's Working newsletter about who is older and working in Colorado still. And you have a couple great pie charts in the newsletter about the responses that you got to your own survey. Can you give us some highlights from that?
So the funny thing is, I think the prior week when we talked about older workers in the column, you know, the cutoff number is 65. So it was kind of this, you know, 65 and older, you know, workers versus, you know, younger. And so when I did my Labor Day survey, and really this is not scientific, it's just for fun. And so I'm always glad when people respond to it. And I try to make it easy and fun to respond to. But I also try to collect comments from folks. And that's where I heard from, Sarah Sharp, who lives in Grand Junction and had to unretire. But the other thing about the survey is I divided it up into, you know, age groups, not just 65 and up, but 65 to 75, 75 to 85, and 85 and up. And I heard from a surprising number of 65 to 75 year olds who are still working, partly because they have to, and partly because why not? You know, people, when you're in your 60s and past 65, it's not that old anymore. And we live longer than, you know, 50 years ago. So, you know, there are jobs out there and hopefully employers are more flexible and willing to hire because there is this trend to attract more workers. So it doesn't really matter what age you are. And, you know, I mean, that's not always true because I did still hear a lot from people who felt like there was a lot of ageism in place where they weren't being considered because of their age.
Right. There's so many different pressures and influences on these age groups and on this topic. And one of the complaints that, you know, quote unquote, older workers have is I believe the federal government lumps everybody into a 65 and older category. They are not broken out. And it looks like in your survey, you did break people out into these categories and heard from folks. And to your point earlier, we live longer, we are healthier, we are more active. At least that's, I think, a broad trend. And so why not? Why not keep going? And then I also appreciated where you said somebody in the 55 to 64 year old range was happily unemployed. So there's not a blanket assumption that we can make about any workers other than that teenagers did not fill out your survey.
Right, right. So maybe we'll have another teenage survey down the road, but I don't know if teenagers are reading this column, but if not, and you know of some, share the column.
It's free and we're reading it. And I do know of people who you know, forward this to the rest of their family members. So maybe we should do a teenage survey down the road. Tamara, thank you for swinging by. And thanks to everyone who helped produce today's podcast and our production partners, Pirate Audio. I hope all of our listeners have a wonderful day. And I sincerely hope you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. A report aimed at shining a light on Colorado's payment system for mental health care did little to calm the ongoing frustrations of therapists and psychologists in private practice. The Colorado Department of Health Care Policy and Financing said in the report that the reimbursement rates paid to the state's mental health care workers who counsel low-income patients are adequate. The state's 17 community mental health centers on average receive 2 to 3 times as much reimbursement as private practice counselors. Independent providers said they are paid at least 10 times less than mental health centers for some reimbursement codes. Spencer Kontnick is suing the Denver County Court for excluding him from jury service because he is deaf. Kontnick, an attorney who specializes in representing people who are deaf and hard of hearing in disability civil rights cases, received a summons last year to appear for jury duty. But before he entered the courtroom, he was told the judge had already excluded him from jury service. Kontnick and the Colorado Cross Disability Coalition are asking the county court to stop violating the law and implement new policies to ensure prospective jurors with disabilities do not experience discrimination. Colorado already has broken its annual record for deaths from water recreation. Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials say there have been 36 fatalities so far, with weeks left to go in the water sports season. The previous record year was 2020, when 34 people drowned. Many of this year's record deaths appear to be related to drinking alcohol and to paddling or swimming from shore. CPW officials emphasize that life jackets are required even on the popular stand-up paddle boards, and they are urging people to take them along. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And The Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.